Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Bellingham podcast. We hope this message will be informative, inspirational, and helpful. Donations to support this work are greatly appreciated. Visit www.cslbellingham.org and click on the donate button. Remember to share our podcast. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Kalish Leviel, and I'm the practitioner up front today. Thank you. You didn't even give me a chance to make the joke first. So we have practitioners to support you. If you see anybody else wearing one of these, you get to ask us for support. We love to pray. And you can put in the prayer vessel. You can do it through online prayer requests. You can even join 7 in the morning, where we'll be doing prayers Monday through Friday. Thank you. And you don't even have to turn your video on. It's okay. It's on Zoom, and you can snore through it. We won't hear it. You'll be on silence. So right now, join me in more celebration in this moment. Breathing yourself, allowing the breath that comes in and goes out without limitation, without filter, to provide you a chance to ground in this moment and be here now, being grateful for this day, for this moment, for our speaker, for these teachings, and just breathing more and surrender to and so it is.
So I am delighted to be here today, and as I said before, I'm Cindy Clay, and the topic this morning is my garden, my choice. And so in a minute you'll hear why that's the topic, but first I just want to celebrate what a glorious time of year this is. And we just experienced the spring equinox. And I don't know about you, but inside, my whole body is going, yes. Because this now is the time of year where it's pretty even day and night, you know, that it's pretty evenly balanced. And so this is a time of balance and renewal. And a lot of cultures celebrate this time of year where we're ready to renew, give birth, create something special. And so that invitation to renew is what I want to talk about this morning. And I want to say that this invitation comes with a promise. And the promise is that what you plant will turn into exactly what you expected. If you plant an acorn, you are going to get an oak tree, not a cucumber. If you plant a tulip, little tulip bulb, you're not going to get a dandelion. You are going to get a tulip. Now, isn't that fantastic? There is order, predictability, stability in the system. Growing is governed by laws and that we can count on. Okay? And so I just think that's great news. Here's what Ernest Holmes has to say about that. There is a power around you that knows and understands all things. This power works like the soil. It receives the seed of your thought and at once begins to operate upon it. It will receive what you give to it and will create for you and throw back what you think into it. So that, if you know the science of mind symbol, often we call it the glyph, and you see that V in there, that's exactly what we're talking about, is planting that seed in the soil of consciousness and trusting that the law will make it so. because that is how the universe works. And so what we're talking about today is your garden of consciousness. So when I say my garden, my choice, what I'm saying is we have free will. We can do whatever we want with this garden, right? Whether we're consciously thinking about it or not. So I just want to suggest that you have some choices that are yours to make about your garden of consciousness. And the very first choice is, how are you preparing the soil of your consciousness? So I'm going to tell you a little story. Look, when Leo and I moved to Bellingham about nearly 5 years ago now, we bought a house. And the previous owner of this house had decided that she just did not want to have to deal with gardening, lawn care, anything. So her choice was to back a truck up full of rocks and gravel and dump it all over the hillside that was the backyard, like 3 inches thick. Now, I guess I'm grateful for that because nobody bought this house. It sat on the market for months until we showed up, walked in, went, "Ooh, we love this house," and then looked at the backyard and went, "Oh my gosh." And so we, you know, decided, yeah, we'll buy it and we'll deal with these rocks, right? And so we bought the house and we almost immediately called a landscape designer and said, we want to have a garden back here. We would like to be able to plant things and watch them grow. And the landscape designer took one look at that backyard and she went, we are not going to be able to get rid of all these rocks because it would have taken months. So what she said is, I'll design something that has pathways that will stay graveled, and then we'll clean out swaths of planting areas, and we'll clean out all the rocks, and we'll put new soil in, and we can, you know, you'll be able to plant these garden spaces all over your backyard, but you're still going to have rocks in places where you choose to have them, right? So that's what we did. We hired people, cleaned out rocks from all the areas we didn't want to have rocks, trucked in healthy soil so there'd be good nutrients where we wanted to plant things. So that's a metaphor for what we do with our soil of consciousness, right? What our opportunity is to do with the soil of our consciousness. So you can think of rocks as limiting beliefs, old stories that don't serve you anymore, past regrets that you're trucking around behind you, okay? And so if you want to prepare the soul of your consciousness, you can start to remove those rocks, you know, get rid of them. Move them out of your mental space and make room for something new. Then you can bring in new healthy soil, soil filled with nutrients, right? And that's a lot like our spiritual practices. What do we choose to do to fill our consciousness, to prepare the soil of our garden with productive, positive, healthy thoughts? Okay? So that's our first choice. And I just want to say, it's interesting thinking about this and thinking about what Dr. Bob is doing with our community. Because what we've been doing for the past few months is clearing the rocks and preparing the soil. And I've heard people say, can we just get on with it? You know, like what we know we want, we know what we want in the next ministry. We can just put it out there and hire somebody, right? If you've had that thought, you have company. Like, why has this taken so long, you know? But the thing is, if we were just to go pluck a minister and plant the, you know, pop that plant into the soil of where our consciousness is filled with rocks and maybe not the healthiest soil, what would happen? Well, plants wither and die when they're planted in places that aren't ready for them. And so I really love thinking about where we are in our process is preparing the soil of our collective community consciousness to receive the perfect person for us. So here's your second choice then. What are you planting in the garden of your consciousness? Are you planting seeds of hope? Are you planting seeds of fear? And there's a lot going on in our world right now that could create seeds of fear. And it's our choice whether we want to plant those seeds in our garden or plant something else, Okay? I know I say to myself all the time, I do not want to live in constant outrage, right? I'm not happy with everything that's going on, but I don't want to be stuck there, right? I don't want to be, and when I read, you know, all the prognostication and forecasting and all the, you know, because you can find people that will tell you the awful things that are going to happen as a result of things that are happening right now, I don't want to plant those seeds. And so I have the choice every day, and so do you, to go, what will I plant today? What will I put in my garden of consciousness? And so you can start to pay attention to hope, to your vision of the world that you want to live in, to your vision of the life you want to create, to your dreams and desires. And Ernest Holmes tells us, be for something and against nothing. All right? And that is a powerful shift to make, to be for what you want to create in the world. This is a little piece from the Global Vision for Centers for Spiritual Living. And by the way, if you've never looked at the Global Vision, it is powerful. So you can go to the CSL website, the overall national website, and read the whole Global Vision. But this is just a little piece. We envision humanity awakening to its spiritual magnificence and discovering the creative power of thought, a world where each and every person discovers their own personal power and ability to create an individual life that works within a world that works for everyone. I just, you know, I get little chills reading that because that is powerful. That is a garden worth growing, isn't it? Wow, I want to grow that. And so just to connect this to where we are in our search as a community for a new minister, now we're on to the next step where we get to choose, we get to envision who is this person that we want to bring to our community to lead us? And who are we as a community that will attract that right person? So we are right here now in this process of defining that, of saying this is who we are and this is who we want to be here to lead us, to help us co-create this world that works for everyone. It's an exciting time. So here's the third choice. How will you tend your garden? Okay, so it'd be nice if we could just put our plants in the ground and move on, right? Wouldn't that be good? They'll just take care of themselves, and that is not how it works. Any gardeners in here? No, it does not work like that. I'm kindly calling myself a gardener, but it's a stretch. But so when I say tending, what I mean is weeding, watering, and fertilizing, okay? And so we're just going to keep using this metaphor. So let's talk about weeding. So I'm going to tell you a little more about my garden. So we love our gardens. There's all kinds of wonderful plants growing. But there's one little section that just doesn't seem to grow anything. And, you know, we've now been there for 4 years every year, and everything that we put there just kind of withers and dies. And I finally realized, yeah, it's next to the fence on the south side. It's just not getting enough sun. But one day, this little sprout popped up, and I was like, oh, I don't know what that is. It's a little volunteer. And I thought, well, let me just leave that and see what happens. And it grew up, and it put out a little pretty pink flower. And I thought, ooh. So I left it there. I just thought, that's so pretty. Nothing else is growing there. Might as well let that grow there. Well, before I knew it, 100 square feet of this garden was covered with this plant putting out little pink flowers. And I'm like, I had mixed feelings about it, but I'm like, well, nothing else growing there. It's kind of pretty, you know? And my neighbor leaned over the fence one day and went, you do know that's a weed, right? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, and it's really hard to get rid of. And I went, oh, well, and I still was kind of on the, you know, kind of on the fence about it. It was like, you know, it's kind of pretty. Nothing else really growing there. My gardener came over, and this is it's in full flower now. It's covering this huge area, pink flowers. And the gardener says, that has reseeded itself. It is going to be really hard to get rid of. And I went, oh, shoot. So I realized at that point, I'm going to have to pull it out. And so I start, but it had deep roots. It was nicely installed. And so I got a shovel and I started digging it up. But, you know, I paced myself. So it took me weeks to get it out. I would just every day go out and do like a one little section and get up the roots and pull this thing out. And remembering that it had reseeded itself. So even though I was doing this, I was going to have years of work ahead of me, and got it all out. And here's what I discovered. It had grown over many plants that we had intentionally planted and blocked the sunlight from these plants. And so as I uncovered the plants that we had chosen to plant there, I realized the disservice I had done to my intentional garden, that I had allowed this thing to just take over. And I have to say, this year, I am out there every day looking for those little sprouts. They can, like, come out. As soon as I see them, I'm like, yeah, here. Every day, I pull them out because I'm going to eradicate that weed. I am committed to getting rid of it. So I had made a choice to ignore that weed, hoping that it would turn out okay. And I have to say, here is what Ernest Holmes has to say about that. Because we're talking about our garden of consciousness, right? Can you afford the consequences of the way you are thinking? Like, because I got a lot of work ahead of me to eradicate that weed. So ask yourself, what weeds are residing in your consciousness? You kind of just learn to coexist with them, kind of hoping that it'll be okay. And I'll give you an example of a weed. This is a weed that springs up in our lives. Gossip. All right? So gossip sneaks into our conversation. And why do we gossip? Because it gives us a sense of power. It gives us a sense of insider knowledge. It allows us at some level to feel better than the person or group that we are gossiping about. And does that resonate? Yeah. So for that moment, it's kind of fun. It has little pink flowers. Okay? Yeah. But here's the thing. Gossip poisons an organization or a community or an individual. And so it's subtle, right? And if you think about my weeds, it is blocking the sun to what you really want to be experiencing in your garden, okay? So I'm going to suggest that we make a commitment not to gossip, that when we find ourselves talking about people behind their back in this community or anywhere we are, that we go, nope, nope. So I'm going to tell you a little story about someone who chose to pluck that little plant out the minute she saw it. And so this person texted me and said, I would like to meet with you and Leo because I've heard something about you and I don't know if it's true. So she had heard some gossip. And so, of course, we were like, come right over, you know. But she was going to come over the end of the day. And so we had the day, Leo and I had the day to go, what in the world are people gossiping about us? You know, we think we're pretty boring. So, you know, when she came, we sat down together and she told us what she had heard and gave us the chance to go, we did not say that. That's not true. And she said, thank you. She came right to the source to find out, is this true or not? And so I applaud that choice. That is a powerful, healthy choice. That is someone standing in the garden of consciousness, seeing that little plant and going, nope, that is not going to reside here. Okay, so I want us to be a community that doesn't ignore the weeds of gossip. We don't ignore them. We pluck them out. Okay, we consciously say, I'm not going to gossip. And I'm going to go find out the truth. I'm not going to spread half-truths. All right? So that's one way to weed your garden of consciousness. I'm sure there are many others, and you can think about the weeds in your own consciousness and what you'd like to see be rooted out. And I just, from my experience, do it early, or you'd be doing it for a long time. So, okay, let's talk about watering. So watering is a way you tend your garden. So I think of watering as love, you know, just bringing love into my relationships and into my community. When our daughters were younger, and they're 20, nearly 26 and 24 now, they went to the youth program at CSL Seattle. And they came home one day with two plants and instructions to put these on a windowsill in the sun and to water them both, but to pick one plant. So we picked the plant on the left side of the windowsill to talk to every day. We picked one plant to say, "You are beautiful. Oh my gosh, look at you. Look at those beautiful leaves. Look at you growing. You are amazing. I love being with you." We did that to the left side. And the right side, we didn't think any harmful thoughts, you know. We just watered it and ignored it. Guess what happened? The left side plant grew at nearly twice the rate as the right side plant. It was thriving. Isn't that the coolest experiment ever? And, you know, think about that for a minute. Think of all the relationships in your life. Think of the world. That is the power of our love. And the world needs our love right now. So bring your love, bring the water of love to your garden. And when I think of that love, I also think of forgiveness, okay? Which is one of the most powerful ways to bring love into a situation, is to forgive people that you think have harmed you. So I just want to say for a second, I had an unsettling experience in the last month. I received an email from someone that was filled with hate directed at me. And I wasn't hurt by the things that were said, because the things that were said had no truth to them. So they didn't land as, you know, "Oh, this is something about me that I don't like either." You know, it sort of landed like, what? You know, but it really bothered me that somebody held that animus toward me, that somebody would take the time to write that email to let me know how much they disliked me. You know, so I just want to say something about spiritual bypass, because it'd be easy to just go, you know, all is well. I live in a world of love. You know, I'm just not going to worry about this, right? But that wasn't what I was feeling. And I don't know about you, but when I feel something, sometimes my body knows it before I can put a word to what that feeling is. So I might get a headache, or I get a knot in my stomach, or I get an upset stomach, or I even get something that feels like a cold. And that's usually a signal for me to just stop and go, what is this? This is my body telling me that I need to pay attention. And so I realized I was feeling fear. I was feeling victimized. And so I remember Reverend Eric coming and talking about the situation where he felt like somebody was unfairly, and I remembered him saying, "I am not an enemy, and I have no enemies," which I just was so powerful. And so I was like, okay, what is it I need to do here for my own freedom? And I remembered the Buddhist meditation, the Tibetan Buddhist meditation, and you all have known it. It's may I be filled with loving kindness. May I be well. May I be peaceful and at ease, and may I be happy. And so you then say it, may you be filled with loving kindness, and then you say, may we be filled. And so I want to invite you to do that with me. I would like to invite you to just right now think of someone in your life that you would like to forgive, that you are ready to forgive. And let's just say this together. So you have someone in mind? Okay. Let's say it together. May I be filled with loving kindness. May I be well. May I be peaceful and at ease. And may I be happy. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you be well. May you be peaceful and at ease, and may you be happy. May we be filled with loving kindness. May we be well. May we be peaceful and at ease, and may we be happy. We just watered our garden of consciousness. So we can do that anytime we feel unsettled. And I will say that I repeated that about 100 times until I started to feel a release of disease, I guess, around that. And then I realized there was just a tiny little niggle left, so I called a practitioner for prayer support. And praying with my practitioner gave me that final sense of release and freedom. So use your practitioners, people. Ernest Holmes tells us, if nothing goes forth from me that can hurt, then nothing that can return to me that can harm. Isn't that beautiful? And so just go back to spiritual bypass for just a second. Spiritual bypass in this situation is like me standing in my garden saying, oh, that's just one little plant. It'll be okay. You know, and allowing that to flourish instead of removing it. All right, let's talk about fertilizing. Isn't that like my favorite? So using that metaphor, fertilizing our garden. There's lots of ways you can fertilize, but the one I'm going to pick because I love it and it's so powerful is gratitude. So when we bring the fertilizer of gratitude to our garden, amazing things can happen. So this is what Wayne Dyer said. Give yourself a gift of 5 minutes of contemplation in awe of everything you see around you. Go outside and turn your attention to the many miracles around you. This 5 minute a day regimen of appreciation and gratitude will help you focus your life in awe. Isn't that lovely? I would love to focus my life in awe, to just be in that place of receiving the miracle of life around me. So I can do that in my garden. I can do that in a park, right? Just take yourself someplace where you can do that. So I decided that I would like you all to have, if you don't know what these are, seed packets. And in each of these seed packets, and it looks like there's extras. So if you haven't had one, if you don't have one, you're welcome to come up here and get one or get one from the back. Or if you want two, it looks like we have enough for lots of us to have two. And these have 19 bee-friendly wildflower seeds in them. So what you can do, if you so choose, because, hey, it's your choice whether you want to plant wildflowers or not, you can go out, prepare a little area in your garden. These seeds like sun, and so you might want to remove the rocks and the weeds and get it ready, maybe even put in some good potting soil around there, and then you plant them by just kind of broadcasting over that area, and you don't plant them deep. So they need a layer of soil on top, and then they just need to stay moist. And they will germinate in 20 to 30 days. The only other thing I think is maybe wait a couple weeks because you don't want a frost to hit. You know, that would not be good for your wildflower seeds. So if you choose to do that in 20 to 30 days, you can experience the awe of wildflowers growing in your garden. And I hope it brings you a lot of joy. So let me just summarize what we've been talking about. But first, okay. So in our Garden of Consciousness. First, we can choose to prepare the soil. We can remove the rocks of limiting beliefs, of old stories that don't serve us anymore. We can add new soil with healthy nutrients by choosing what we bring into our consciousness. Second, we can choose to plant seeds of hope, not fear. And we can allow vision and possibility to inspire us. Third, we can tend our garden through weeding, watering, and fertilizing. So weeding means we're going to make the choice to give up gossiping, and talking about people behind their backs. And I always say to myself when I look at my weeds out there, these weeds aren't going to pull themselves. So it's my work to do, okay? And I would just say get out there early rather than having to get a shovel out and spend weeks digging them out. So watering means we can practice forgiveness. We can use that Tibetan chant to help us release ourselves and others from anything less than love. And then finally, we can practice gratitude. We can fertilize with gratitude every day. So I want to close with a lovely statement. This is written by Hazel Foster Holmes. She was Ernest Holmes' wife, and she was a practitioner. And it's Women's History Month, so let's honor a woman, right, who wrote something really sweet. And so she wrote, Ernest Holmes wrote, What We Believe. That's our declaration of what we believe. And Hazel wrote, Why We Believe. And so this is just a few of the lines from her poem. We believe because we live, we hope, and we express. We believe because spirituality is the stabilizing force of humanity. We believe because contemplation reveals the essence of being. Because of sun-kissed mountains, babbling brooks, and laughing winds. Because the odor of flowers is the essence of heaven. Because climbing the ladder of ideas, divinity appears. So just join me in prayer. As we hold our garden of consciousness, in the awareness that there is only one life, one power, one presence, one love, and that we are the magnificent flowers in this garden of consciousness. We express all that God is in our lives. And knowing that this is who we are, that our very essence is divine, knowing that I am powerful and so are you, knowing that I am full of love and so are you, knowing that life itself is the source of my being and your being, I now declare that our gardens are works of beauty. I know that only love fills this community, fills our relationships, unites us as the blessed community. I am so grateful for our many teachers, including Ernest Holmes and Hazel Holmes and Wayne Dyer, for those who articulate what we need to hear at just the right time. And so I release these words now into the soil of consciousness, into the law, confident that the promise is fulfilled even as we are here together. And I say, thank you, sweet spirit. And so it is.